You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. And I tell you what, we're gonna break from the dippers momentarily. We just did a whole section there, which I just thoroughly enjoyed. Mike Johnson 101. And I love it when liberals are screaming and calling somebody an extremist. When I see Kyle Whitmire and Josh Moon lamenting together on Twitter, it's a good day. Right now what I want to do is a step aside. You know, yesterday we had former state representative Charlotte Meadows on the show talking about running for state school board because she's just not done trying to see things change when it comes to the education environment in Alabama. Well, somebody else who's been really active in that regard is one of our freshman state legislators, Ernie Yarbrough, who represents District 7, which is up in the northwestern part of our state here. And Ernie and I were talking the other day, and he just basically said, you know, I went down to a planning meeting in Montgomery, and I just presented, and the way he described it, I thought, okay, he's coming on the show again. So without further ado, let me just welcome back on current state representative Ernie Yarbrough. Hey, Ernie, how you doing?
Brother, I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
I am good. I am good enough. How about that?
I tell people I'm doing better than I deserve by the grace of God. So every day is a good day.
Yeah. I've got a buddy who always says I'm too blessed to whine.
That's right. Amen.
Hey, listen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, for sure. No, I was just tying into what you said there. Yeah. The other day we were talking, and I had the chance to share my heart and was honored for you to ask me to come on. So, you know, obviously this whole conversation around school choice, I feel like that we are, you know, a comment was made the other day by a fellow state rep that our people are hungry for seeing decisive leadership. And I feel like, you know, actually it's kind of a great segue from your previous section about the new speaker, because the people are hungry for decisive principled leadership. And, you know, I think that that's not just on a specific topic here or there, but also the general framework, right, of how we approach things. And for me, one of the most passionate things that I care about is this idea of principled leadership when it comes to school choice, right? And so when you talk about school choice, yeah, it's true that school choice is the most powerful tool that we have to combat the woke and morally bankrupt agendas that we're fighting. School choice is the most effective tool to help ensure, like, good quality education, right, and preparing young people for to be significant contributors and leaders. I think important pillars of school choice include things like that parents have the opportunity and the ability to choose, you know, where and how their kids are educated and not forced to sending them to failing schools. It's universal. All kids are eligible. Like, those are all core tenets of school choice that are really important. And the easiness to use for a large variety of expenses. Those are all important things. But I got to thinking, and this is kind of what I was sharing with you, that while it's important to identify those four or five true conservative pillars and platforms of school choice, it's also important as conservatives that we start learning to address these problems in the context of a principled, consistent way of thinking.
Yes.
And that's what got me fired up sharing that with you. That's what I'd love to share a little bit more about here today.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. See, that's the thing. I've said multiple times, and I believe it to my core, that if you've got your principles in place, it'll guide the policy. What you want is the principles first, and that guides the policy. And so, yeah, take it away, man. What were your thoughts?
Absolutely. Well, I feel like that what our people are hungry for and what is the most needed skill right now in our nation is godly based leadership and the ability to take a concept or a principle. Hey, as Republicans, right, more importantly, as conservatives, here is our platform. These are the pillars of our thought. And here is how, from those pillars of thought, those pillars of principle, we craft a solution. We build the house that matches the foundation, right? So the context of thought for school choice from Republicans or conservatives, or I think even more importantly, people who just care about the future of our kids, is something like this. Right, one of the greatest gifts that America has given to the world, right, is a free and yet a faithful and a faith-filled society. And so America has sought, here's the key, right, America has sought to maximize freedom of choice while minimizing amounts of government restraint around 10 simple rules or commandments that our nation has thought is so important. We hung them up in our Supreme Court building.
Right.
And when you maximize freedom and you minimize governmental restraint around those 10 commandments, those 10 rules, that enables the people of the country to walk through life with the tools that they need, right, as individuals and as a people, to use that scientific method of observe, measure, and repeat to find the best possible outcomes for the most, you know, whether the situations and the circumstances are similar or diverse. That freedom and principled thought allows you to adjust on the fly with maximal freedom within the safeguards and boundaries of the morality and the basic foundational rules of eternal right and wrong that preserve nations and societies. And so as Republicans, you know, we're supposed to be the party of principled liberty, freedom to choose, while honoring those God-ordained and historical, you know, American boundaries, which is why not only we love the Bill of Rights, but we also, you know, Article 1, Section 35 of our state constitution. If you want to know what guides my finger hitting red or green on that voting board, you know, it's Article 1, Section 35 of our state constitution. The sole object and only legitimate end of government is to protect the citizen in the enjoyment of life, liberty, and property. Yeah. And when the government assumes other functions, it is usurpation and oppression. So, you know, we celebrate Ronald Reagan. We celebrate Margaret Thatcher, who revitalized their countries by bringing back the voice and power of everyday common people. And they privatized things and brought that awesome gift of a free market and the passion and heart of the people, right? And when you do that, it will, everything that touches on the foundation of those eternal principles becomes a huge engine for good. And we've got to get away from our fear of making the NEA mad or the AEA mad or the Library Association mad, and build on our principles, engage our people that their thoughts, their faith, their convictions, their counts, their tools are needed. And that has to become the driving force behind, I mean, after all, it's their tax money. The dollars are our own loan to us, with the assumption that we're going to maximize their freedoms and empower them to walk out solutions, not lobbyists, not bureaucracies, not any of that, because none of those lobbyists or bureaucracies sent us to Montgomery, right? So if we're going to be the 14th state in a wave of educational freedom, and as our governor said, and I say praise God for what she said, that we're going to be the national leader in freedom of school choice, right? We've got to embrace and not be afraid of, embrace our platform of principled free markets, governmental restraint to the side. And if we're going to take a chance, right, if you say, well, you're taking a chance with tax dollars, you're taking the chance with, you know what, let's take a chance on our people.
There you
go. If we're going to roll the dice as Americans, let's daggum roll the dice on our people and see what happens, right? So if I'm gonna roll the dice on something new, I'm gonna actually roll it on something really old, which has just been forgotten, and that's under God, our people, and let them walk out with us the solutions that they sent us to Montgomery, ultimately to give them, which is to empower them to walk out their faith and convictions and make it happen.
That was even better the second time I heard it. That was so. You are such an extremist, Ernie Yarbrough. You are a MAGA guy. You're an extremist individual. You're a Christian nationalist. What are we going to do with you? How did you ever get into office?
Oh, my.
Craziness.
By the grace of God. You know, I love quoting movies, and I'll quote one movie here. I quote Braveheart all the time, but I also like to quote, to a lesser degree, The Last of the Mohicans.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You've seen that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
There's a part in that movie where the British soldier who wants to marry the girl who won't marry him because she realizes he's not a good guy, he's like, "You know, how can these colonialists, these American people, walk around living life without so much as a by your leave to the British government?" And she says to him, "They don't live their life by your leave. they hack it out of the wilderness with their own two hands, bearing their children along the way, right? And that's the freedom, and that's the perspective that we've got to, as leaders, not only walk out but regain and give back to our people and call out that greatness by the grace of God in our people. That's the American spirit under God. That's the thing we've got to call, and that's going to be the thing. That was the thing that made America great and that made us the world leader. And under God, that's what's going to do it again. And getting away from the institutions and the lobbyists, and we're seeing it on NBC. They're all mad. Why? Because a guy who will get on his knees and pray in the congressional buildings, who operates not by the fear of man but by the fear of God, and wants to walk out the, here's the plain principle, here's the plain building that matches the principle, and the two are obviously connected. Without lobbyist connections and dollars and you know, weird things that, you know, why is this so hard? Well, we just don't know why. No, we know why. It's because somebody somewhere is fighting against walking out the plain principle to the plain end. That's why. And we've got to, as leaders, embrace that we're going to lead with plain principle, build the house that matches the foundation of what we ran on in our platform, and be faithful to God and faithful to empower our people to walk in freedom.
This is madness. This is absolute madness. I love it. Man, that's...
treason is the reason for the season, 4th of July.
No, man, that's why I called you on. I thought, you know what? It's not even like per se part of my dippers, but it kind of is, because we just covered all the stuff with Mike Johnston. We just had Charlotte Meadows on yesterday talking about school choice, and I preach liberty, and I preach getting out there and taking the risk every day. My monologue today was all about being willing to take a risk and assume the risk to find those principled ends that you're talking about. And I tell you what, man, I appreciate you. I just got an opportunity there to sit back and just enjoy somebody else preaching for a minute. So thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for all you do in the platform and striving to be a voice for the people. And I'll just close with this one little quote. If you've ever heard of G.K. Chesterton, he had a quote that I thought was just magnificent. And you know, he generally speaking, he got interviewed some, but he was so witty and funny. But he had this to say about, the press. He said, and that, of course, to me, I think that includes radio as well as written. He said, "I am always ready to be interviewed, for I hold the theory, nowadays completely forgotten, the theory that the press is a public organ. I should not refuse an interview even to a paper owned by one of those capitalist millionaires whom I hate if they use their money to subvert the true purpose of the press. Nowadays, the press merely echoes the powerful. Its real aim should be to give the public a chance to state its views." So kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you, brother. All right, listen, we'll talk to you again sometime soon, man, but thanks for making the time for us this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good stuff, man. Golly, Bob. That's just, Boomer, I know we got to run to a break because I ran long, but that was worth it. I am fired up right now. I'm all good. I don't care what happens the rest of the day. I'm all fired up. Although the rest of the day does include Boomer McQueen. So what am I saying? But even still, listen, that's just cool. And that's one of your state representatives. Listen, if you're one of those that believes there's not good people in office or that once they get elected, they're corrupt, wake up. It's not all true. There are good people in office right now. You just heard from one. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.